97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome in. It is the Mark Cox Morning Show. That would be me, and that would be Kim St. On sitting down the desk down there. Good morning, Kim.
Morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. My show starts earlier and earlier every morning. It's just amazing to me.
Isn't that wild how that works?
It is. I am walking down the hall. I hear the music play. I'm like, oh, I guess I should be in the studio.
We just need like a little pager.
You don't have me out there yelling anymore.
You need a little zapper on my chair in there because I'm always in there until the last minute every morning making sure I've got the latest on show prep for you and all of that good stuff. That's what we're doing. That's what it's all about, right? That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
You enjoying the warm weather yesterday? Wasn't that nice?
I didn't get outside. I was cleaning. We have family pictures at our house today. But yes, it was nice. And I'm a little sad today knowing that. I mean, it's a busy day again for me, but it's a little sad knowing it's not going to be as nice. I mean, warmer still than you would expect, but really, really windy.
Not today, man. It was 50 when I left the house. According to my weather crap app that I looked at, the temperature's going to drop another 10 degrees in the next 5 hours as this cold front moves in. And it's going to be in the 20s by tonight.
Nice.
So we're going to go from 50 degrees right now. What is the official temperature outside right now?
What did I just say? 47?
50, okay, 51.
So close to, 50, 51 to the 20s by this evening. So dress appropriately. That light jacket you're wearing out the door this morning, if you're up this early, is not going to be doing you a whole lot of good by, 5, 6 o'clock today, it doesn't look like. So just trying to give you a little heads up there because that's what we're doing around here. We're keeping you up to date on what's going on around the world, and it's been trying to do the math here. It's been 15 years since Nancy gaveled in Obamacare, and now we're finally told Republicans might have come up with an alternative that we're going to talk about this morning. That Thune and other leaders have come up with something that is apparently does, and I'm shocked about this, but apparently it does not include a repeat of these subsidies. And I'll be the first to admit that I was wrong if the final bill doesn't at least temporarily fund some of these subsidies for the next year. I would be shocked if our current Republican leadership in the House and the Senate are willing to take that risk in an election year. I'm not saying I want them to fund, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I want them to fund Obamacare subsidies. That's not what I'm saying. I've learned what motivates these politicians in leadership, whether it's in the state of Missouri or it's in Washington, D.C. And my guess is that it's going to be driven by the midterms next year. And that's why I'd be surprised if the final version of whatever they do doesn't include some money for some of those subsidies. I mean, I think they're awful. I think Obamacare was a failure from the beginning. It needs to go away. It needs to be replaced with something because what they gave you is not health care. It's health care insurance. I mean, it didn't improve your health care at all. Not one iota. Prices have still gone through the roof.
Right. Now, healthcare is such a problem. That's probably one of the biggest issues in our country. And I agree, Obamacare is not great, but I don't know what the solution is. And that's the problem, is a lot of these lawmakers can say, well, I don't like this and we need to change it. But there's really not a good solution, it seems, that people have figured out. And we do have to be careful leading up to the midterms. I mean, you think about what happened in Virginia. A Democrat won the race for governor. You saw what just happened in Miami.
Yeah.
A Democratic mayor just won. And the Democrats have not had control there in, 30-some-odd years? This is telling. We have to be careful. Obviously, Tennessee with the crazy lady. What's her name? I don't even want to. Thank you. Afton Bain or whatever.
Yes, yes.
You know, obviously, she didn't win. But still, I mean, we do have to be careful. We have to play our cards right.
Yeah. Well, I know. We'll parse out more of what's supposedly in this plane. It's really they haven't released a lot of details on it. We're hoping to get some more information on it a little later today because it's they've got to vote this week, probably this week or next, probably next week on something. And there are people in Congress saying that they haven't seen the details on this yet. So as we know, the devil is in the details. The other big news probably from yesterday is the court has paused the new congressional map while they count these petition signatures, and the court is trying to determine if they're legal or not. So the map was set to go into effect tomorrow, but by turning in petition signatures, people, not politicians, effectively paused it. If the signatures are found insufficient, the map will go into effect. If the signatures meet the threshold for a ballot referendum, the map would not go into effect unless Missourians approve it at the ballot box as well. So, which means they wouldn't be able to get it on the ballot until November, probably, and it would have no impact on the midterms. So, yeah.
There was the question about the 92,000 signatures that had been collected prior to this even, you know, going into law, like we were talking about. But if they turned in 305,000, now they do have to be from 6 of the 8 congressional districts, and obviously they have to verify that they're legitimate people, because we know that the liberals can
that's
make
true.
Up people or
this
people
is
who
true.
Are dead.
This is true, and they have to be gathered in a certain way. And my guess is the other shoe that hasn't dropped here is that there was a big ground game underway to verify that a lot of these signatures were not legally gathered, because there are specific things you're supposed to have. If somebody asks you to sign something, then they're supposed to have a copy of it, a copy of the entire bill, the petition that you can review before you sign it. And my guess is most of these people didn't. Most of them were hired. Many of them weren't even from Missouri or from the congressional district where they were hired to go in and try to harvest signatures of people who may not even have understood what they were signing. My guess is this is going to be loudly challenged in court. So we'll see what happens with that. I'm guessing that's going to be part of the challenge. All right, good show for today. We got Tanya Powers coming up next hour. There's a big court hearing down in Texas over removing DEI and a bunch of other sick stuff from the schools down there. We're going to find out what's going on with that. We got Mary Vogt, the Vice President of Communications from the Heritage Foundation, is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking to a St. Charles County mom who's had some experience with the hospitals allowing 13-year-old kids to sign a piece of paper preventing their parents from knowing about their treatment. I mean, it's outrageous. Channel 4 has done a story claiming that it's disinformation, but the parent we're going to have on here says it's happened to her. So somebody's not telling us the full story here, I don't think, from the hospital perspective. I'd love to know more about that. We'll get Senator Eric Schmidt on in the 8 o'clock hour. So we're going to open up the text lines here, 314-241-9797. Text us any questions that are burning on your mind. You'd like to ask Senator Schmidt about what's going on in Washington, and we'll be able to share a few of those a little later. So anyway, big show for you. Right now, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist, presented by Rhino Shield.
We're also putting thousands of dollars in the pockets of hardworking Pennsylvanians with the largest tax cuts in American history. That's no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, no tax on Social Security for our great seniors, our seniors. Nope.
Yeah, that's the president last night in Pennsylvania in full campaign mode. And Susie Wiles, his chief of staff, says he's going to do this all the way through the midterms.
I do think that at the end of the investigation, Mueller concluded, and I said, you know, throughout the investigation.
Robert Mueller.
I said throughout the investigation, this was very possible, that he could not prove the crime of conspiracy beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yeah. Adam Schiff sure changing his tune there, isn't he? Wow, that guy is suddenly now claiming he didn't believe Robert Mueller was ever going to find a conspiracy there. It's just this. I heard Kash Patel saying the other day he's the most corrupt politician in Washington, D.C.
And in our majority, our Republican majority, that many of us women are not taken seriously, and our legislation is not taken seriously.
The transition is complete in the upside down. Marjorie Taylor Greene is now a official CNNer because she spent more of her time on CNN the last few days than doing anything for her party.
He is, well, the president. He's in charge. He could make the call on that. He could certainly order it be released, just like he could order the Epstein files to actually be released. He's choosing not to and allowing Secretary Hegseth to make that decision.
Oh, the Dems are really mad. They're really mad they can't see the second piece of video yet of a narco terrorist being blown up in the ocean. If they had been killed in the first strike, it wouldn't be an issue. Why do you need to see them get killed twice? I don't understand the fascination with this story. Bombing the boat, the intention of bombing the boat was to kill narco terrorists, period. End of discussion. The fact that we killed them with the second bomb is irrelevant. They were trying to get back in the fight. One more distraction from the leftists in Washington, D.C. this morning. All right, quick break. We'll get to our national anthem and be right back. All right, just want to take a moment here to recognize someone who I did not know, someone who passed away, a first responder. I did not know this young lady, but I knew friends in, who are first responders who did know her and just talked glowingly about her. I saw pictures of her posted at Guns and Hoses over the years. And Lieutenant Sarah McCarthy, who was working out in the St. Charles County Ambulance District, died of a medical complication. Apparently, she passed away on December 9th, yesterday. She had some chest pain while on the job back in November, had a medical setback, and passed away from that condition apparently yesterday. Very sad. Leaves behind two daughters, a husband, Chris. And, I mean, what a shock. She was only 48 years old. Ugh. And they've started a fundraiser for her, and I just want to share that information because I know that my listeners love to help us support first responders. They've started a fundraising page because her daughters are young and fairly young, and her husband, and you know, she's 48 years old. She'd been with the ambulance service for 23 years. Clearly had a, she was a lieutenant, promoted in, I think they said 2022 or 2023, and clearly had a long career yet to go, and yet she's suddenly out of the picture for her family and because of this tragic death. And so they've already raised $31,000. Their goal is to raise $50,000. So in the day since this fundraising campaign has been put up, people have been pouring out donations for this family to help them out financially while they experience this horrible loss. I'm going to put a link on the Facebook page this morning. If you're listening on the radio, you can go to the Mark Cox Show there on Facebook, and I'm going to post up this link to the it's basically like a GoFundMe page, although it doesn't look like that's what it is. It just says the Sarah McCarthy fundraising campaign. I don't know what the platform is here, to be honest with you. One Cause, I think it is what it says here. So I will I'll post that up on there right now. Just hit the go button, and if you find it in your heart to donate to that family, our condolences to the family of Lieutenant Sarah McCarthy. Speaking of which, this afternoon, of course, you know, the month of November, we do a lot for first responders. We tried to help out Responder Rescue, and thanks to your generous ticket purchases of the raffle, we raised just under $20,000, just a skosh under $20,000, which I think probably, if I'm trying to do the math here over the years that we've done, and we're probably around $150,000 we've raised over 5 years for Respond to Rescue. And they do good work, too. They help families that first responders who are injured in the line of duty. And of course, Backstoppers usually steps in if somebody dies in the line of duty. I don't know what the, if Backstoppers is involved in this situation or not. I have not read that specifically. But anyway, I just want to point that out that, you know, we try to do what we can. The guy drives part of this is Grillmaster Tony. Let me give him a shout out this morning. GrillmasterTony.com. Tony Stone, great dude who has been helping us out for a couple of years now by donating boxes of food that he cooks and then donates, whether it's pulled pork, pulled chicken, all the sides with the mac and cheese and the coleslaw and all that great stuff. I mean, he caters huge events. He caters small events. He's catered many things. Kim, you and I have gone to in somebody's kitchen.
Yeah. Oh, it's always great.
And it's delicious. So this afternoon, Tony is meeting me, and we are going out to honor our next recipient of the monthly recognition of our Feed Our First Responders. And I'll give you all the details on that a little later in the show. But I'll be driving out there tonight because they're working the night shift. So they don't even start till 6 o'clock tonight. So I'm going to deliver the box of food out there tonight to the crew when they start work at 6 o'clock. Good way to kick off their 2 or 3 day shift. I don't know what it is that they're in the middle of right now.
But remind me, does the person know this is coming?
I don't know the answer to that. That's why I've got to check on that before I announce it on the radio. Normally
don't
I announce
give it away.
Normally I announce it the day after, but we are going to, thanks to Tony Stone, deliver some delicious food to some first responders tonight. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim. Stay tuned.
Kim on a Whim.
There was an awkward moment on air the other day, on Monday. Not on air, here.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought I would have remembered that. Maybe
those are every day.
I was going to say comment or something.
Well, that really was funny. Nope. In fact, for anyone who was not sure what we're talking about, we were talking about how this goose, or I guess it was multiple geese, attacked some woman, like a 72-year-old woman in Texas, and she ended up having to get hospitalized for it. And we were talking about the goose and how Mark would like to take the goose by the neck and basically chuck it, which I thought was hilarious. And you said geese don't have teeth, and my sister must have been watching the reel that we posted on Instagram, but we posted it everywhere. You can watch it. She sent me a picture of a goose, and it has some serious teeth. I'm going to text you this picture. I'm telling you.
All I'm saying is...
tongues and these weird-looking teeth.
A 20-pound bird is not intimidating me.
I get that, but it does have creepy teeth.
I've been flogged by a rooster. All I suggested was if you wouldn't get charged federally with it, you just grab him by the neck and throw him away from you. That's all.
And
I'm not calling for goose abuse.
I said I would like to see you do that. The image of that is burned in my brain right now.
So what was controversial on air? Yeah, you have to tell us here.
Okay, this was awkward for an ESPN sideline reporter because she was interviewing Justin Herbert after the Chargers won in overtime on Monday against the Eagles. And as they all do, the sideline reporters, they're chasing after the quarterback or they're chasing after the player who, you know, kind of the MVP of the game.
Sure.
Trying to get that interview. And I want you to listen to part of this interaction.
Yeah, I'm trying to celebrate with my team.
I know, but can we just talk to you really fast? What was it like to watch the interception there that sealed this game for you guys to get this win?
Yeah, the defense played incredible. You know, they came up with so many big stops today, so proud to be able to play for those guys. And the way they compete down in, down out is really fun to watch.
We know you were dealing with a broken hand tonight. You gutted it out. You were hit multiple times. How are you feeling right now?
Feel pretty good. Thank you.
Okay, and then you can stop it. You can tell that he's not having it. And if you caught the beginning, it's a little hard to hear because the reporter didn't have the microphone quite up to her mouth, and maybe she didn't realize that this was caught on camera, but she's trying to ask him for an interview, and he says, yeah, I'm just trying to celebrate with my team. And she says, no, I know. Can we please just talk to you really fast? So he clearly did. He's required to by the league because he could be fined if he didn't.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
No, you can. I think you have to do it.
I think they're mandatory to do the sit-down interview.
You definitely have to do those.
I'm not sure about the... And I could be wrong. I will admit I could be wrong.
I think you're wrong on that because...
I know for sure they had to do the sit-down. I didn't think they had to do the on-field.
Yeah, PR is so important to them. I know a major leaguer who I won't announce his name. I won't identify him. But he told me I had to do that stuff when I was in the league. And now that I don't have to do it, I refuse every interview request because I hated it, he said. So I think they are required to do it. It's at some level. But this guy should be mentally cognizant enough of the fact that if he was the star of the game or the MVP and the reporter's trying to chase him down for a comment, he's got to be a professional enough to stop and say, okay, this is my job. I just did my job on the field. My other job is PR for the team. I need to stop and do this 40-second interview with a reporter.
And I understand it's annoying. I get that you're in the middle of the moment wanting to celebrate with your team when it's a big win in overtime. But it's kind of a missed opportunity for the players who want to act like jerks or shy away from this type of media coverage because we've seen, especially lately, where there's less team loyalty for the fans. It's more player loyalty. And I'm not sure if that's because of the presence of social media and so people want to follow a player, but that's a way that you could really draw a lot of attention to yourself and maybe even make more money. You're more successful. People like you. Or you can be like Marshawn Lynch, who you might remember. He, I believe, was fine because he wasn't wanting to do interviews. So I'll contractually fulfill the agreement and I'll do them, but this is what he said.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
And that's allowed, by the way. You can, as long as you sit your butt down in that chair and you answer a question, you can say exactly what he just said. You can say, I'm here because I don't want to get fined.
I'm only here so I don't get fined, so you know.
Why make them do it?
Well, maybe you could argue that. But, I mean, even
during
the...
What do you mean, why make them do it?
If he's just going to go and say that, that's his answer, and they're fine with that, and he doesn't get fined for just saying, I'm here so I don't get fined, why make him do it?
Doesn't that look worse on him, though, as a player?
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. If you want to make it look like he is a bad person, go for it, but why make him do it?
He gets
You're wasting everybody's time.
Millions of dollars a year. As a coach, I would sit him down after that interview and say, don't do that again. Just don't. I'm your boss. We're happy to have you here. All we're asking is that you be media friendly after the game. It doesn't hurt your reputation. Answer a few questions. The team is earning the revenue off the TV broadcast that we use to pay your ridiculous salary. Suck it up, Buttercup.
I agree.
That's kind of what I'd say to him. I'm sorry.
During the World Series, my husband was watching and he was noting how they were interviewing the coaches. And I guess this isn't completely unusual, but they were interviewing the coaches in the middle of the game. So they're trying to watch, a pitch. And they're like, oh, yeah, I think this is going really well, or we need to work on this. Oh, hang on. Let me turn around. I think he's about to pitch. It's almost distracting for the viewer to be listening to that interview. And they're watching the game.
That's where I would draw the line. Thinking you should be able to interview people during the game. They've done it in the World Series for years, where they've gone to the dugout, during the World Series and interviewed a coach while the game's going on. Or they now I've seen them pull football coaches over during timeouts to ask them stupid, meaningless questions. What do you think about the defense after they just got a turnover or something like that? I mean, it's just dumb. I don't see what that adds to the broadcast.
Yep.
But after the game, I think it's all fair game. After the game.
Agreed. They should have no excuse to not do an interview, especially if it's a 40-second interview. Now, lawmakers, on the other hand, they are not contractually obligated to do interviews. And man, some of them really are professional at dodging anything. I believe if you're elected, you should be required, I don't know if maybe required is a bit strong of a word, to do some sort of media. Like Joe Biden, I'm talking to you, as the president, you should have been required to do a certain degree, a certain level of media interviews.
Yeah.
You can't just skirt all of them. I'm not saying you have to do 10 a day, or I'm not saying there's a threshold, But it is very irritating when people elect these lawmakers into office and they just want to dodge you.
Well, that was an unusual situation, obviously. But, you know, basically you get to choose at the ballot box if you like what that person's doing, ultimately, or not doing in terms of access. It'll mostly be the haters that are complaining about it anyway. So unless there's a majority of haters, they get away with it.
But
they
access, just get away with it. But access or lack of access isn't what is going to be the deciding factor on whether or not someone votes for a person. They're going to say, well, he never does interviews, but I like that he is all about abortion,
right,
and I like the fact that he loves to let illegals cross our border. I support all of that.
Or I hate Donald Trump.
Or
one
also
of the
that.
Two answers. Yeah,
yeah,
that's it.
Those are the
you know, here
reasons.
we've talked for 5 or 6 minutes about this reporter, this awkward moment, and all of the comments online are about the goose. Just so you know that. All of the comment, everybody's like, "Oh, you got flogged by a chicken. You somebody attacked my kid outside the transportation museum one time. A goose chased my kid. They are aggressive. I agree with that.
My
only point is, it's a bird. Like if it was an alligator and had like teeth that could damage you, I would. And they could probably hurt a small child, but they're not going to hurt an adult."
They sent some 72-year-old woman to the hospital.
Probably because she fell while trying to run from them.
Go look at the picture I just texted you. And anyone listening right now, Google this, please. Google
I am bigger
teeth.
Than a goose.
And I know you're bigger. I'm just saying, it's an ugly-looking mouth. They do have creepy teeth and a little weird-looking tongue that looks like it has teeth on the tongue.
Barbs.
It's gross. It's like a dinosaur mouth. And they hiss at you. I'm kind of scared
of
geese.
I'm waiting for the dinosaur tooth comment again.
No, I didn't say it.
It's coming. All right. I will Google goose teeth here in the break. But I still think you should, if you're one of those people that is terrified of them, maybe it's because it's a bird. I don't know. Some people have phobias about birds. Walk around and repeat this self. To act like Stuart Smalley and walk around and say, I am bigger than the goose. Give yourself positive reinforcement throughout the course of the day. That looks like a swan. It didn't look like a goose.
Kim asked me on Facebook to hold the phone up so that people watching online could see the creepy geese teeth.
All right, we'll investigate this in the break. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich.
Yes, indeed. And if you're feeding somebody goose crap, it's still a goose crap sandwich, Kim, just so you know. According to this website that I found here, so it must be legitimate, geese have something in their mouth, but they don't qualify as teeth. To be teeth, teeth are made from enamel. The spiky-looking structures that you see in a goose beak is made from cartilage.
Okay, well, here's
known as a tomia, T-O-M-I-A.
They might be made from cartilage, but when you Google, does a goose bite hurt, it says, yes, a goose bite can be surprisingly painful and cause injury, ranging okay. from sharp pinches that draw blood to serious wounds needing stitches.
Oh, my gosh. So before it bites you, plant your big number 12 in the middle of its chest, and it'll back up. And then when it comes at you again, come at it from the side and scoop it up with that long neck and fling it away from you. It's a bird.
All I can see is Mark doing karate against a goose now.
It's not a falcon or a vulture or something big with sharp talons that could potentially maim you.
It says they slap you with their wings.
They try. I was flogged by a rooster when I was about 5 years old.
Can we hear more about this?
I was at my grandmother's house in Kentucky. All I wanted to do was go out and feed the chickens. It was time to feed the chickens. So she gives me a little bowl of corn, and I go out to feed the chickens. And the rooster apparently didn't think I was giving it enough food, and it flogged me, which means they basically try to climb up your body while flapping their wings with their little talons out, and they've got some pretty sharp claws. It was pretty traumatizing until I took the bowl and smacked the rooster in the head with it. At which point I got chewed out by my grandmother for that. I specifically remember that because she was afraid I had hurt her prized rooster. And I'm like, but the rooster was attacking me. So I've had this, you know, fight or flight response for a long time. I usually fight if I can.
I just would like to see that in action. Debbie's saying that turkeys do way more damage than geese.
Thank you, Debbie. Thank you. Thank you, Debbie Kaufman. I appreciate that.
But the geese hiss and like chase you.
So do Democrats. You get, I mean, you have to be afraid of them.
Should you grab them by the neck?
No. I'm not encouraging violence against Democrats. I'm saying this is a bird. This is not a 6-foot human being standing in front of you, you know, with purple hair screaming at you. It's a bird. So you can deal with that. I'm just saying. I think as adults, I could scare a small child. I get that. But you're not a small child. That's all I'm saying here. So
when it comes to birds, I kind of
am. Yeah, I don't like birds.
Are you really? I understand. We've had birds. We had an African gray parrot at one point in our lives.
I just don't like things flying around my head.
I don't like things flying, like the little bird areas you can go into. Yeah, I don't like those.
I'm out.
We had a cockatiel growing up. I think I told you too that. I'm okay with maybe a bird, like a cockatiel in a cage, but you know how the birds will line the street, the wires?
Yes.
That gives me the heebie-jeebies. Like nails on a chalkboard. Seeing a group of birds fly up at the same time, it's like I just get so disgusted and creeped out.
I think we're getting to the root of the problem here. Right? The root of the problem here is that you have a fear of birds.
Really just groups of birds.
Well, no, you're afraid of geese, too. That's a single
they're
goose.
Mean. I'm not afraid of a blue jay.
You should be. They're mean.
Only goose, I'm afraid of is gray goose. Because if you drink too much of that, it'll give you a horrible headache. So careful with that. Do not do that. Different types of geese. Thank you. Here's what got me excited yesterday, just so you know. And it had nothing to do with the bird. Is my computer up over there, Ethan?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, hang on just a minute. And I'll figure this out. Hold on. That's Triumph. Triumph is going back on the road after 30 years. Just let me tell you a little bit about Triumph. Fantastic band. Always loved them. I'd never had the opportunity to see them live. The shame of that band is, of all things, they're a Canadian band, right? And I don't know what the bias is in the rock and roll, the so-called Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where they've let in people like Dolly Parton, who I love Dolly Parton, but she's not a rock star. Why is she in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Triumph is not? Triumph is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. This is a burr under my saddle. I just have to tell you that. I don't like that. But they are coming back with a 30-year reunion tour. They haven't played together as a band in a long time. And after it was announced yesterday, I was very excited about this. I was already texting with my buddies, and we're planning to go. It's going to be a great concert year. Can I just tell you that? Guns N' Roses at Busch Stadium, AC/DC at the Dome, Triumph at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. This is going to be a great year. Triumph had to put out a statement, the band, saying this is not a cover band. Like, people thought they were trying to bring Triumph back with different people. But the three original members of Triumph are going to be playing, and they're going to have other, I guess, musical stars joining them on the tour across the country. So I don't know who's warming up for them or anything.
I'm trying to focus, but people are still talking about geese.
Are they still talking about the goose?
And my brother-in-law said I should watch the movie Birds, which I've seen, and it is scary. You want to talk about why we don't like birds? Ethan, we're justified. Anyone who has seen that movie can understand.
Thank you. Let's see. Arnold Girls pointing out that it's Triumph and April Wine. Here I am talking about a band, and we're still talking about geese. I don't know. There are no geese at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater, so feel free to go see Triumph with me.
Well, if there are, just grab them by the neck and throw
them. There'll be some gray goose out there, but that'll be about it, and a lot of gray heads because we're all gray-headed now because they haven't played in so long. All right, coming up, we'll get to Tanya Powers on that Texas court hearing on DEI and get you a check of business about 6:35.
Get more at 971talk.com.